Now we'll visit another community of race car drivers here in Appalachia. In the early 1960s, short track racing put Ona, West Virginia on the map. As West Virginia's first and only oval asphalt racetrack, the Ona Speedway has been at the epicenter of regional racing culture. The road has been bumpy at times, and the track has survived its fair share of challenges and changes. Yet what hasn't changed is that year after year, many families return to race, watch, and impart their hard-earned wisdom to the community's upcoming generations of drivers. Reporter Lexi Browning recently spent some time with one of those families, the Siglers, and brings us this story.
Ona, West Virginia is a town with two stoplights, but it's also a place where legends are made.
Go, 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 go. Not yet. Keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, go. Now. Okay, that's better.
That's Greg Sigler. He's been racing at Ona Speedway for nearly two decades. But today, he's coaching his 15-year-old son, Cole, from the sidelines, using a headset that lets them talk back and forth.
Keep the momentum. Keep coming. You're doing fine.
Cole, who drives a white 2006 Cobalt sporting the number 99, has just embarked on his own racing career. It's his first time behind the wheel of a car.
You're doing good.
For the Siglers, days at the Ona Speedway are a family affair. Cole's mother, Michael Ann, is there too. She says racing has brought the father and son closer together.
They didn't really have a whole lot in common. And now that they're racing, they talk a lot. They stay gone late at night working on cars. It's really made his dad proud of him.
Between practice sessions and races, Greg, Cole, and Michael Ann often spend long days together at the Speedway, but she doesn't mind.
It's just real family-oriented, and I like that about it.
Out on the track, Cole's cautious, but he's gaining confidence. He's easing into turns and leaning harder into the accelerator. After a few more laps, he pulls over for a tune-up, and his crew guides him to a trailer, which serves as their makeshift pit.
Hey, shut it off for a second.
It's a routine check for safety. The guys check the tires, add air, and tighten a few bolts. Greg gives the green light, and with that, the Cobalt and Cole are ready to return to the track.
Fired up.
Hey, that's a nice car, isn't it?
Yep.
It's not just blood relations who come together here. The track is the center of the racing community that Michael Land describes as, quote, one big family. Marshall Herring agrees. He's been coming here since the track opened, first as a spectator, then as a driver, promoter, and flagger. Now, at 71, he's seen his fair share of tracks.
I raced at Ona back in the 60s, and then I moved to Florida. I raced at Palm Beach Fairground Speedway, Hialeah Speedway, Hollywood Speedway.
But the Ona Speedway is home, and there's no place he'd rather be. When it opened in August 1963, it could seat 16,000 spectators, and it was slated to become a NASCAR track. The Speedway hosted four NASCAR races, bringing in big names like Richard Petty and Bobby Allison to the tiny town.
People actually bought stocks in Ona Speedway. Back then, they were going to build this track and make it a big thing. The track that's there now was the original track that they built, but it was laid out for an even bigger track around the outside of it to run the NASCAR cars on.
NASCAR racing traces its roots to the Prohibition era, when quick getaways were a necessity for moonshiners in the hills of Appalachia. Souped-up engines became a way for moonshiners to deliver their products and outrun any lawmen they encountered. By the 50s, the sport was gaining traction in fans across the United States, and Ona was right there at the center of it.
It was unbelievable. I mean, I remember going there when I was young as a kid, when they ran the NASCAR track, where the airport is now, and all that whole bottom land was nothing but cars. There was people up in the trees on the hillside. It was unbelievable, the people that came to watch the NASCAR races at that track.
The rural roads made it difficult for NASCAR's massive car hauling trailers to access the track. The Speedway was only a half mile from the nearest stretch of interstate, but without any off-ramps to accommodate the trailers, the NASCAR races eventually stopped. After a 22-year hiatus, a local family reopened the freshly paved track in 1995. By then, its seating capacity had shrunk from 16,000 to 5,000, reflecting racing's new realities.
People kind of died off from it, and the track doesn't bring the crowds in like they used to. None of them do. It's hard to bring a crowd into a racetrack and charge somebody to come and watch a race, even though they might want to watch it and it's a show that they're getting and it's well worth the money. But it's hard to get people to do that because of television. That's been a big factor in the short track racing.
Over the last few years, though, Marshall said things have started looking up thanks to new owners. Both attendance and car counts are up. He says it reminds him of the old days.
They're running things pretty much the way it should be, and I see the track coming back a little bit, and I hope it continues to. I would love to see that place packed full of people the way it used to be, the way all the tracks used to be.
Marshall says the key is leveling the playing field to make the sport more accessible to younger folks and those with lower incomes.
The little guy wants to race just like the big guy. And if you got a big guy that's got $1 million a year to bank to race with versus a guy that races out of his pocket from week to week and has to do without a loaf of bread maybe to get a bolt or a tire or something for his car so he can race, there's a big difference there.
Scouring junkyards for used parts or bartering with other drivers can help lower costs of restoring and maintaining the modified stock cars, which can be classified as late models, hobby stocks, and classics. So can swapping out metal bumpers with cheaper plastics. But the best way to get involved, says Marshall, is to simply start by showing up and helping out at the track and in the garage, like Cole did.
He started coming up here to the shop with his dad some, and I would tease him and tell him, we're going to put you in one of these cars next year. And he got to where he was working on the cars a little bit and helping us. And I think it's great. And I think we need more kids doing stuff like that.
All right, this lap right here, listen to me.
It's been a few hours, and Cole's finishing out his final set of laps. The setting sun marks the end of practice, so he pulls off the track, parks, and gets out. Driving, he found out today, isn't as hard as it seems.
Honestly, it feels like you're being pushed. It feels like everything's getting pushed to one side. But you know, I couldn't ask for anything better. This is probably the best track for starting off.
Greg walks over to congratulate his son on a job well done.
You did it! Mm-hmm. Look at you. You're like a professional racer now.
The race cars are loaded and the trailer doors are closed. With that, the Sicklers head home, eager to cross the next finish line. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Lexi Browning in Ona, West Virginia.